Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live." Please be seated. Now hear the word of the Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You who set your glory above the heavens, out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and it withers. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." A person lives as a person after death. The Lord, who is Jehovah from eternity and the creator of the universe, has provided that the condition of a person who conjoins himself with him by living according to his commandments be more blessed and happy after death than his condition before in the world. It is more blessed and happy for the reason that the person is then spiritual. And a spiritual person feels and experiences spiritual delight, which is superior to natural delight because it exceeds it by 1,000 times. After the death of a body, A person's spirit appears in the natural world in a human form, altogether as it appeared in the natural world. He also enjoys the faculty of sight, of hearing, of speaking, and of feeling as before in the world, and he is endowed with every faculty of thought, of will, and of action as before in the world. In a word, he is a human being in all things and in every particular as he was before in the world, except he is not encompassed with that gross body which he had before. This he leaves when he dies, nor does he ever resume it. This continuation of life is what is meant by the resurrection. Those who are in heaven are continually advancing to the spring of life, and to a spring so much more delightful and happy the more thousands of years they live, and this to eternity, with increase according to the progressions and degrees of their love, charity, and faith. Women who have died old and worn out with age, and have lived in faith in the Lord and charity toward the neighbor, come more and more into the flower of youth and early womanhood, and into a beauty which exceeds all idea of beauty that is perceptible by our sight. Goodness and charity are what form and make it a resemblance of itself, and cause the delight to be and beauty of charity to shine forth from the minutest parts of the faith of the face, so that they themselves are true forms of charity. In a word, to grow old in heaven is to grow young. Those who have lived in love to the Lord and charity toward the neighbor have become such forms or such beauties in the other life. All the angels are such forms with innumerable variety, and of these heaven consists. Amen. Here end our lessons, and blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. In the Gospel of John, we read, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. And I love that agricultural symbolism of life after death. Surely it's fitting for Anne, whom we honor today. And I'd ask you to turn your attention, just imagine for a moment a dawn in heaven. Imagine it's beautiful, warm crimson light reaching out from the eastern horizon. Imagine it illuminating the scattered high clouds, setting fire to the clouds' edges with a brilliance indescribable in earthly language. Down below, we can begin to see the lush greens of the gardens and the pastures. The quiet of the morning is giving way to the varied songs of birds greeting the rising sun. The livestock in the field are soon able to be seen with cattle, horses, and sheep all nursing their young. Another day in heaven has begun, and it's much like many thousands of mornings before it. Only this time there's a new inhabitant whom we know stirring from sleep. Anne Lindruth Fabricius is beginning her daily life early in the way she loved most while living on earth, getting up, paying attention to the needs of the animals around her, feeding her cats or dogs, haying, watering, grooming the horses, and preparing her barn for the children who have booked lessons for the day. Well, she still feels like she's a newcomer, perhaps, in her environment. She also, I would suspect, has that deep feeling of delight that she is right where she is supposed to be, doing exactly what she was created to be doing, and settling in quickly. We can imagine Anne's heart being filled with joy over finally being released from this illness that had imprisoned her aging body and had prevented her from doing the things that she so loved. Today, she is living in a spiritual world. She is free from sickness, and her strength is returning day by day. Even those gnawing arthritic pains that she began to feel as she got older, they've been gradually going away. They're subsiding. When she takes time to glance at her reflection in the mirror, she smiles as she noticed those sun-scarred wrinkles left there from years of outdoor life seem to be fading. Yes, her youth is returning. And so we're taught in the new church that to grow old in heaven is to grow young. After death, a person returns to the vigor of their youth, in fact, discovering a kind of quality of youth that they couldn't possibly experience while they were here on earth. They regain dexterity, sharpness of mind, agility that was lost as their bodies aged on earth. As an angel, a person is dwelling in a spiritual body that draws its health, life, and vitality from the Lord alone, the true source of spiritual life. And death is only a doorway. Truly, it is a gateway even to a more vibrant life that is offered by heaven. We're also taught in the new church that heaven is a kingdom of uses. It's a place that is unbound by time and space, where happiness is experienced in the measure that one is living in service to others. Well, we can easily see that this is an environment that serves Anne particularly well. For she was never one to sit around waiting for life to happen to her. She was not someone who would have thrived with a life of leisure or of rest. She was the kind of person who was constantly on the go, perhaps like her mother, getting ready for the next lesson, caring for her animals, working extra jobs to get by. It seemed like she was always looking to make sure that she was caring for others in a practical, down-to-earth, and yet special way. The life of heaven will serve her well in this. The theology of the new church teaches that angelic life consists of worthwhile, thoughtful actions, actions that are useful to others, and that all the happiness that angels have is found in service and derives from service and is proportional to that service. As we all know well, Anne channeled her efforts to be useful through her irrepressible, lifelong passion for horses. In fact, it's hard to think of Anne apart from horses. Her mother and father introduced her as an early child in Chicago to this passion by taking her to a barn with friends some 10 miles outside of the neighborhood where she lived. As far as anyone can remember, she went to the barn whenever she could to ride, groom, feed, clean stalls, anything to be near the animals and to learn their ways. Anne found a way to nurture her love for horses even when she moved east to attend the academy of the New Church High School, a New Church boarding school. While there, she would walk 2 miles up Second Street Pike to Just a Farm Stables, which was a local barn that was primarily used for the breeding and training of racehorses. And while she might have struggled with formal education and desk work, she absolutely thrived here in the outdoor classroom of life at the barn. As an adult, after working in various barns, she finally realized her own dream of starting Anne Lind Stables, her own riding establishment in Robesonia, PA. One might ask how Anne came from a suburb of Chicago to running a stable in the mountains of eastern Pennsylvania. Anne's son, Frank Jr., recalls his mom reflecting on this. She saw herself as a person who made her own way, as she described it. And while this is certainly true, I believe one way of viewing this statement is that she had the courage to follow a path that was leading toward a type of useful service that the Lord had placed in her heart that was unique to her. Rather than letting others define her, she knew that if she followed her love of horses, it would lead her somehow to a deeply fulfilling life. I believe this love of horses was a precious gift that was given to her by her Heavenly Father, and that He, working in secret, was offering her a pathway to contribute uniquely to the people in the communities where she lived. Psalm 37 offers a reflection that might be of service here. We read, "The steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way." In this teaching, the Lord reminds us that He's constantly working in the background of our lives, opening doors, providing opportunities, advancing us in our abilities to serve others in ways that are unique to our own talents, also in ways that we probably couldn't plan well ourselves. And while the journey is not always easy, within those opportunities for usefulness, there are often great blessings. Blessings that draw from the life of heaven that the Lord offers to all who are willing to follow. Anne had the determination to follow these inner dictates of providence, and in so doing, she became a renowned riding instructor who was recognized throughout the Reading area, especially for her ability to work with children, sharing her love for and talents of working with horses. Her son relates that she would give anyone a lesson, no matter who they were, how old they were, or what background they came from. They were welcome and welcomed to enjoy her barn. Frank particularly remembers growing up in that atmosphere around the barn that her mom maintained, that it was a fun and positive environment that included frequent rides down the mountain, midnight trail rides, and other fun activities designed to help young people fully enjoy horsemanship. And so here I think it's worthy to take a moment and just pause and consider what she was really doing and what she was really accomplishing. The lessons, the education she was offering were not just focused on entertaining children with horses or just making enough money so that she could care for animals that she loved. There was something more there. Like all true uses, there were deeper things that were offered. Through the teaching of riding skills and care for the animals, Anne was able to help children develop their personal confidence. She was able to teach them responsive listening and reaction skills to the horses and to the students around them. Anne was able to teach the gentle discipline that was required around horses, and the notion that when riding in a gentle yet disciplined way, one could get incredible results out of one's horse. Also, she taught the value of taking care of others outside of self. These were lessons that were learned by countless students. And the deep long-term value of these lessons should not be underestimated, for we're talking about helping a person acquire skills that help them share loves that ultimately form the basis of heavenly life. And so what was once learned on the back of a horse could naturally be transferred to support healthy, useful interactions with others as they became parents and mentors. They could share them with friends and co-workers. I suspect these deeper uses are closer to the heart of what really kept Anne so deeply interested and evolved with her horsemanship throughout her life. And so, when we begin to wonder and speculate over what Anne is doing on her heavenly farm today, my reflection would be that she is once again in the barn environment. And yes, it's a more beautiful one than what she could have ever imagined. She is there with her beautiful horses and once again offering angel children and adults lessons of how to care for others, how to ride with a horse, and all that the horse represents in human spiritual life. Her day is still, no doubt, physical, demanding, and long, but it's also deeply satisfying and joyful with the knowledge that she is offering others something very special and unique because of the unique gifts that the Lord had given her as a human being. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who lives his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. It is part of the Lord's divine providence that Anne has now completed her life on earth with her physical body and now is alive and active as an angel in heaven. While we will miss her as our lives continue in this plane, the love we feel with her is still a real connection to Anne herself, and it's a connection that she also is able to continue to enjoy. We can rest assured that she is still actively loving and serving and is able to advance in her uses to eternity. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, you have, in your infinite mercy, called Anne from this temporal world to your eternal world. Grant that we may see this dispensation of your wisdom in the footsteps of an all-merciful providence, which in every act furthers the progress of an eternal creation, and through death of this life bestows the life of your heavenly kingdom. Comfort those, O Lord, who love her. May this event contribute to their spiritual and eternal good, that you may receive them also into your immediate presence, and bring them at last to the fountain of living waters where there is no pain and no sorrow, and you yourself shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so upon the earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Please rise.